Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Today on Life Quest, I'm talking with Dr. Warren Wiersbe. He's an internationally known Bible teacher and former pastor, including the Moody Church in Chicago. For 10 years, he served as general director and Bible teacher for the Back to the Bible radio broadcast, which I remember hearing a lot of as a child growing up. And Dr. Wiersbe has written more than 175 books, and today I'm talking with him about his latest book called Delights and Disciplines of Bible Study. Dr. Wiersbe, welcome to Life Quest.
Well, thank you much. It's good to be with you.
I'm enjoying your book very much, and I know our listeners are going to be, you know, really uplifted with the possibilities as we're into the new year of having a more disciplines of in Bible study. But tell me, why this book at this time?
Well, actually, the idea came from one of the editors at the publishing house, and he said, you know, you've written commentaries on every book in the Bible.
Right.
Why don't you write us a book on how to study the Bible? And I sat there staring at him, but he had a good idea, so that's where it came from.
Well, it is a good idea, and I just wish we had a long time for you to go through each of the books as you of the Scripture, as in fact you have done here. I guess one of the things I wanted to mention at the beginning is sometimes we use the Bible to just kind of wander through looking for this point and that point and the other, but you're really into a couple of things, which is context, to whom was it written and under what circumstances, and also following principles of interpretation. Can you talk to our listeners about that for a moment?
Well, the Bible is really a library of books, 66 books. And I suppose most people shy away from studying it because they say, well, it's an ancient book and I live today. Mm-hmm. And beside that, it's a translation of three different languages.
Right.
And I'm not a very good linguist. And so they shy away from it, but that's not the approach you want to take. This is God's Word. If you want God to talk to you, open the pages of your Bible. And it's so beautiful to see how the Old Testament prepares us for the New Testament, how the New Testament shines light on the Old Testament. I've been at this since I was 16 years old. I can tell you from my own experience, it's an exciting thing to study the Bible.
I like what you wrote near the beginning of your book, where you say that when we study God's Word, we're not spending time, we're investing time for eternity. I like that.
Well, it's true. Why do I want to read a letter from my wife if I'm overseas preaching and she writes to me? Because she's my wife. I love her. Why do I want to read my Bible? Because God loves me, and Jesus died for me. But not only that, the Christians need to remember, all of us need to remember, the author of the Bible, the Holy Spirit, dwells within us. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we have the author of the book ready to teach us. You can't beat that.
No. In fact, was it not the reformer John Calvin who said we have to have the Holy Spirit in order to really understand the Scripture?
Exactly, that is right. Because, you know, I find the Bible a very exciting book. Now, I confess to you, when I come to a list of names that I can't pronounce,
yes.
I sort of skim over them. Unless one of them gets my attention,
right.
Then I grab my Bible dictionary to see what that name means.
Yes.
The names of the people in the Bible are so important.
Hmm. You also point out a good way to approach Bible study is to ask the right questions. What are some of the questions we need to ask ourselves as we study Scripture?
Well, Well, if you were in my study here at home, mm-hmm. and I was studying my Bible to write a book or to prepare a message, you'd probably think I'd lost my mind because I talk to my Bible.
Hmm.
I say, now, let me look at this chapter. What words are repeated? That's step one.
Okay.
And when you find out that the word king is repeated 22 times, guess what that chapter is about? It's about the king.
Yes.
Now, that sounds so simple, but most people don't do that with the Bible.
Yeah.
And what about the people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? So I talk to my Bible, and I take notes on little pieces of paper. And then I try to put the whole thing together and say, what is he really trying to say to me? And I've had not only enjoyment, but enrichment. There's something about the Bible that does something to your mind and your heart.
You remind us that we do have to take in mind strongly to whom this was written, and you talk about, for instance, our very familiar 23rd Psalm about the image of David with sheep and shepherds, but that there's a lot of people today who don't know anything about shepherds, know anything about sheep.
Well, I had never seen a sheep in my life till I was in third grade. I was raised in the city, East Chicago, Indiana, which is right adjacent to Chicago. And the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, what is a shepherd? What's a sheep? But when I was in third grade, they took us to a farm, a beautiful farm outside of the city, and I saw a sheep. Now, you don't have to have a zoo in your backyard to understand the Bible, but it's wonderful the way God uses different images. He talks about rocks. He talks about wine. He talks about water. Talks about storms. The things of everyday life are in the Bible, and that's how we learn.
I like the idea also that you really emphasize here in your chapter, Are You Ready for Serious Bible Study, where you say, here's a question you need to ask. What does the passage mean to the original listeners or readers? Sometimes we just are so self-absorbed, we say, well, what does it mean for me?
Oh, you've hit the nail on the head there. When I talk to my Bible, I say, to whom was this written? Well, it was written, say, to the Corinthians. Uh-huh. Okay, who were the Corinthians? Well,
right.
Then you go in and look into that. Or it was written to somebody's mate, or it was written to an apostle. Who mm-hmm. knows?
Yeah.
And first you find out, what is the theme of this chapter or these verses? And then, well, why were they written, and what do we have to do with them? And the beautiful thing is this. I keep telling people, now look, when you go out to buy a Bible, be sure it has center column references.
Okay.
Because the Bible is its own best expositor. So if you find some verses in the New Testament relating to the Old Testament, guess mm-hmm. what? You're going to unlock the door and learn.
Yes.
Now, there are some big helpful books available, but basically it's all the same thing. Let the New Testament describe the Old Testament and answer questions, and let the Old Testament shed light on the New Testament. I tell you, it's a wonderful experience.
I've had the experience, Dr. Wiersbe, of people coming to me and they find one particular verse in the Scripture, older, New Testament, whatever, and they pull that out and they want to make, well, someone once said they take a button and they make a vest out of it. And so without looking at, well, wait a minute, there may be other verses just before it and just after it that may give an entirely different spin to what was written there.
We make mistakes like that, and we shouldn't. You've put your finger right on it. Context is important. A text without a context is a pretext. That's the first thing you learn in seminary.
Right.
When you read the Word of God, ask yourself, now, wait a minute, to whom was this why was it written, and what was the response to it? And I'd sit here and talk to myself and find out all sorts of things. Sometimes I make mistakes, but you know, the Holy Spirit has a way of nudging you and saying, he says to me, look, you're going too fast. Slow down and take a good look at that verse. Bible study is an adventure. And when you are making this adventure, it not only delights you, but it disciplines you. It makes you more like the Lord.
There are many very sincere Christians that they know they should study the Bible, and it becomes a real kind of project or burden. And they do it, but they're not really happy about it.
Well, I'm afraid that is true. And the problem is that they take the wrong attitude. You are not studying a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
What you are doing is having fellowship with the Holy Spirit,
okay,
Father, and the Son. And all they're trying to do, well, they have two goals in mind. One is to make you more like Jesus. You don't become like Jesus by drinking this or by swallowing that. It's through the Bible. And secondly, that the Bible is everything that we need. It's a sword for fighting the enemy. It's food for growing in the knowledge and in strength. It's a light to guide you. You could just go on and on, naming the different symbols of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really is not like doing an algebra problem in high school or translating some Spanish literature. It's a delightful experience with the Holy Spirit, and every once in a while the Holy Spirit has a special surprise for you, and you say, you know, I never knew that that was there.
Very good.
I said to a friend one day, how long has this verse been in the Bible?
Right, exactly.
He said, well, from the very beginning, where were you?
Exactly. If you've just tuned in, folks, I'm talking with Dr. Warren Wiersbe, a prolific author and a pastor, teacher. He's written a book called Delights and Disciplines of Bible Study. Dr. Wiersbe, tell our listeners about the kind of the format of the book. First of all, at the end of each chapter, you have something called adventure assignment. Explain that.
Well, an adventure assignment is an opportunity for the reader to put the principles learned in that chapter to work.
Ah.
If we're talking about the Book of Psalms, I might say, okay, turn to Psalm 119. Read it carefully and mark every image of the Bible you can find there. Now, if you don't do something after you've learned something, you lose it.
Ah.
It's very important that once you've learned it, stick with it, follow it through.
Mm-hmm.
The adventure paragraph simply opens the opportunity for the student to learn more.
And then you really go through all these books of the Bible in your chapters and give a little synopsis of it. Now, I got to tell you, there's going to be some people that are unhappy that you get to Daniel and you don't tell us to make a chart of some prophetic things. And we get to Revelation, and once again, you know, you don't really talk much about the scary parts. Or, by the way, I've got to tell our listeners, there's a wonderful a passage here at nearly at the end of the book, speaking about the book of Revelation, where you say, the important thing is not that I have an accurate calendar, but that I am ready today for the Lord to return. I love that.
Well, we have to remember why certain books were written.
Okay.
There's always this historical background. When you read the book of Acts, here's Dr. Luke, who traveled with the Apostle Paul, and he's telling us all of these adventures, the thrown in jail, thrown in the ocean, the boat sank. I mean, there's so much there.
Yes.
And God wants us to see, look, my servants centuries ago were faithful. Are you faithful? Would you have done what Paul did in going in this voyage, et cetera, et cetera? There's something about the Word of God that starts to stab me, and I feel it, and I say, Lord, I want to apologize. I did not do this the way I should have done it, so please forgive me and give me another chance.
While we can study so much in just one book of the Bible, who was it? Martin Luther took 3 years to go through the book of Psalms. But I really like your synopsis of things, pointing out in each one how this relates to ourselves and how does it relate to our relationship with God.
Well, what we've tried to do in going through the Bible is introduce the major truths that are being taught by the different books. And this is Old Testament and New Testament. In fact, if you're listening and you're a preacher or a teacher, mm-hmm. there's enough material in there to keep you going.
Yes.
So whenever I go into a passage, I say, what is the major truth this person is trying to get across? How does it apply to me today? How does it apply to the church today? And always follow the cross-references. I don't know why people ignore them. They're the greatest thing that was ever invented for Bible study.
Yeah.
Because they give you the total picture. And I've gotten so excited sometimes, I've just had to stop and say, now, Lord, don't let me go off base here.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Holy Spirit of God wants to surprise me every once in a while. And he does a good job.
I remember I was a young pastor, and it was the early 1970s, and I think it was the American Bible Society. Anyways, a lot of us from different faith backgrounds, our churches had copies of that were printed of just the Gospel of John.
Yes.
And we handed it out, you know, to the whole communities. And it was a great opportunity. And you say here in when you come to the Gospel of John in your book, you say, you know, if you got to start somewhere other than in Genesis, the Gospel of John's a good place to start.
Well, it is. It's a marvelous book. Every time I go through it again, I see something I should have seen 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there are three crises in the Gospel of John. Chapter 6, it says they would not walk with him. When Jesus said, you've got to partake in me, you have to eat of my flesh and my blood. Now, he wasn't talking about the Lord's Supper. He was talking about feeding on the Word of God.
Yes.
So that's in chapter 6, crisis 1, they wouldn't walk with him. Chapter 12, they would not believe in him. He did all these miracles, and they didn't believe in him.
Yes.
And then, of course, you have chapters 18 and 19, the crisis of they wouldn't let him live. They killed him.
Yeah.
Now, these three crises are being fulfilled today. Our world today doesn't want Jesus. He said, the world hates me because I tell them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus went on to say, and the world's going to hate you, too, because you're going to take your stand for the truth. When I reread a book in the Bible and then reread it, it just gets a hold of me. By the way, you've probably heard of the great British preacher G. Campbell Morgan.
Yes.
Before he wrote anything about a book in the Bible, he's expounded so much of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
He would read the book that he was expounding 50 times.
Really?
Now, some people don't read it once.
Yes.
I confess I don't read it 50 times, but I try to read it enough so that it starts to work its way into me.
Let me ask you a question. One of the things that people stumble over is as they read the Older Testament and they read about the children of Israel and all of the things that was happening there, there seems to be a picture of God that they have a hard time equating with Jesus, who St. Paul suggests was the God of the Old Testament.
Well, I think that the problem is that they have the idea that what God did in the Old Testament shouldn't have been done, and yet it had to be done. The purpose of the Old Testament is to tell us how God called, equipped, and prepared the people of Israel to give the world two things, the Bible and the Savior.
Yes.
Now, as you read from Genesis straight through to Malachi, you find out that there were times when the people of Israel were not faithful. They made images. They did things they shouldn't have done. And God had to spank them. And there were times when God had to have serious judgment on his own people. He loved them, but they were not doing his will. Had the Jewish people not been faithful, and they weren't enough, had they not been faithful, we wouldn't have a Savior. We wouldn't have a Bible.
Yes.
So I give thanks for these dear people who gave us those two treasures.
That's true. There are some wonderful gems, folks, in this book. One of them is that struck me is the beginning of chapter 19, where you quote Dr. Donald Barnhouse about the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrews to tell them to quit being Hebrews.
I heard him say that more than once, and he was a great Bible teacher.
Yes.
We have to take the message that's there. Now, some people won't read Hebrews. They say, oh, it tells us we can lose our salvation or this or that. No, no, no. Be careful. Just be careful, because the Holy Spirit is going to teach you what that book says. May I tell you just a brief little story?
Please.
I was saved at the age of 16 at a Youth for Christ rally where Billy Graham had preached.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Graham is my spiritual father. And I had an appetite to study the Word of God. Well, the adults who were running the Youth for Christ ministry in my town were very wise. They said, we're going to have a Bible study every Thursday night at this home. You be there.
Mm-hmm.
So I took my Bible, and every Thursday I was there. Do you know what the man taught us?
What?
The book of Hebrews.
Really?
Now, here I am. I've been saved for 2 months.
Yeah.
And I'm studying Hebrews.
Okay.
Much of it went right over my head.
Yes.
But you know what? It gave me an appetite to want more.
Hmm. Very good.
And I've loved the book of Hebrews ever since.
Yes. Folks, I have been talking with Dr. Warren Wiersbe. His latest book is Delights and Disciplines of Bible Study. It is a David C. Cook publication. Dr. Wiersbe, where can our listeners get a copy of this book?
Well, I think it's been released because I signed a bunch of them the other day. A fellow came to my house with a box full of them.
Oh, I see.
It's out. I think he got his at Amazon.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Wiersbe, for being with us on LifeQuest. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you for letting me come. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you.
My name is Dwight Lanehoff. This program comes to you from studios in the Meadowglade Church, Battleground, Washington.